The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Mike Hansel.
And I'm Mark Hansel.
Welcome to Report from Europe. And fresh out of Europe, from the hands of Mark Hansel himself, comes a property technology special report. I encourage all of you to get your hands on a copy of the magazine. I think you may have had help writing this, Mark. Is that the case?
Yes.
Or did you byline all of them? You did have some assistance.
No, we had some help. Yeah, we had a company called Pi Labs. They're a kind of venture capitalist firm that invests in prop tech. They wrote one of the articles, and myself and Arno van Grondel, our managing director in Europe, we held a couple of virtual roundtables with some prop tech specialists and experts, and we kind of I bylined that one, so we kind of combined both of them into one sort of summary, if you like, or a few excerpts from the discussions summarized in a roundtable write-up. So it wasn't all me, but yeah.
No, this is too big to be one person.
It was good fun putting it together anyway.
I'm looking at the PDF that Merrick excised from the magazine and sent over to me. It's called Special Prop Tech Report, and it's extensive. It's got facts and figures. It's also got, as Merrick kind of alluded to, meet the participants, and it's got photos and bios of the people who made contributions to this. There's some Q&A. There's some narrative on, you know, redesigning the office and so on. So we're going to speak just a little bit to Merrick about maybe some of the highlights of this. We don't want to give this all away. Consider this kind of the movie trailer, and you get the magazine and you get the full regalia.
I should just also mention, if I can, Norbert Boll, who is the he's from a company called Sweco Capital Consultants in the Netherlands. He's the CIO and co-founder, and he was very, very helpful with our PropTech roundtable as well. So he chaired both roundtables, and he wrote an intro for the supplement as well. So I should mention Norbert. It'd be remiss of me to forget him.
All right, we've marched him out for special. For some special recognition. So it's Norbert, N-O-R-B-E-R-T, last name Boll, B-O-L.
Yes.
And he kicks the whole package off. So let's talk about prop tech. We'll give our listeners a 30,000-foot overview before they grab the issue and dig down. How has prop tech helped? I mean, let me back up a minute, because prop tech carries with it so much promise. There are so many elements to prop tech, because we're talking about any kind of technology that can be embedded within an edifice. So how has prop tech helped landlords, tenants, managers, and investors, specifically through the COVID-19 crisis? And I, stop and think about how short-term this crisis has been, really. It feels like it's been a long time because we've been hunkered down largely. But what about COVID-19? Has there been prop tech that has actually been brought to bear during this crisis to help ameliorate it?
Yeah, well, that's right, Mike. I think it's kind of come to the fore with this sort of crisis. It's shown things that we can do. I mean, not just prop tech itself, but tech itself, you know, Zoom calls and what have you. But prop tech specifically. So, things like contract tracing. Contact tracing. So, if you find out somebody has a case of the virus that works in your building, the more advanced your sort of digital infrastructure, then the easier it is for you to diagnose where these people have been, which meeting rooms, which desks they've sat at, etc. And then you can sort of specifically clean areas that you need to, and what have you, to sort of implement these sort of cleaning protocols. That's one example. Also, just managing space. obviously, in the past, it's all been about open plan offices and hot desking and stuff. And there's talk about needing to remanage, repurpose space. And there's one example of a technology we mention in the reports called Office App. And it's an operating system for office environments, and they operate worldwide. And basically what they do is they bring together data and digital systems used by buildings into a sort of easy to use one sort of page platform. And you can manage functions such as building access, registration. You can set up touchless meeting room bookings, so temperature control, requests for maintenance, which sort of goes back to that cleaning protocol that I mentioned just now. And it's a tool that just allows it to be a much smoother and easier process to do things like booking meeting rooms and just keep it keep people apart as well, who perhaps, if you need to be in a bubble within your office environment or wherever it is you work, apps like that make it far easier for you to make sure that you're only going into rooms that your bubble goes into and things like that. So in that sense, it's been very helpful. There's other things like virtual showings. Someone can't go around to look at a building that they might want to buy, and they've been able to look at very detailed computer imaging of buildings, even perhaps using drones to look at close-up pictures and videos of the inside of properties. And then there's also electronic leasing processes. So we've heard about multifamily owners who've been able to use these. So, for example, a tenant, they can just sign a contract electronically, show their bank ID all electronically, so you don't have to actually meet up with someone and touch physical paper or swap pens or whatever. So it's all done.
What about seeing the space, though? Do they actually walk in? They want to see the space, though, don't they?
Yeah.
Enter the space.
That's a good point. Yes, I guess they would do. Yeah, in that sense, unless they do have virtual showings going on with sort of multifamily. I don't know how advanced that is. In Europe, certainly probably isn't. The States maybe, and some parts of Asia Pacific may be different in that case. But I think that's coming as well, and eventually. I mean, eventually you'll have people who'll be able to just put on their goggles, won't they, and just walk around a 3D space and experience it to quite a accurate, getting quite an accurate feel for it, a bit like a video game that some people play these days. So there's a lot going on. It's obviously not quite the same as smelling the building and seeing it with your own eyes, but it's
right.
A pretty good.
If it's near water, you want to smell whether it's moldy or not. Your carpet smell like mold or not?
Yeah.
Haven't you checked into a hotel before, which is by the beach, and then you walk in your room and say, "Yeah, it smells like mold in here." They have not maintained this properly. You have to ask for a different room or just tough it out. It's funny that you mentioned smelling the place, because that's very telltale. Mm. Whether a place smells fresh and clean or not. You know, what's going to be interesting, Merrick, I think, is you take these innovations that are designed to keep people from getting infected with coronavirus, mm-hmm. but once the vaccines are deployed and past this, mm-hmm. You would imagine that when it comes to things like the flu, the common cold, other types of ailments, that we would see a diminution of those, that the flu doesn't spread within an office the way it did in the past. Because after COVID, I would imagine, any organization is going to say, let's keep these procedures in place, because we don't know when another, pathogen is going to come along, or pandemic. And we certainly have to worry about the flu. It really eats away at a lot of productive time when a person is either hampered by the flu or just has to, if they're smart, they just don't come to work and don't infect anybody else and just stay home.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact this has on illness overall.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Mike. Yeah, I suppose if companies or landlords end up spending the money on this, the capex on this, then they'll probably want to keep it, because it's not cheap. And it's also a plus point when you're selling on the building or trying to attract new tenants. I think just one of the problems, I mean, we might touch on this not in a bit, but one of the problems is the data, the amount of data that you accumulate with some of these apps, for example, when you're looking at people moving in and out of the building and what they're doing. And some people are a bit wary of that in terms of privacy and stuff like that. So that could hold it back. But yeah, absolutely. When it comes to health and not spreading things like the common cold and the flu, then theoretically these technologies should be able to help with that.
So what about building management? Because, I mean, on the one hand, there's the tenants. And when we talk about keeping them healthy, that's really, you know, a company focus. They want to make sure that people are healthy, productive, and so on. But then you've got the building owner, the group of investors, the management company, what have you. And they're interested in improving building management going forward in ways that that make it more efficient, make it more profitable. Are there prop tech technology cited in the special report that talks about applications for building management?
Yeah, so I mentioned Office App. They're one of the ones we mentioned who can sort of help improve your building management by gathering all the data very quickly onto one platform. I suppose there's, smart building technology has been around for a while and people have talked about it. But there's sort of something that's relatively new, which is called digital twin technology, which is supposed to make it a lot easier to set up building management systems as well. So they're sort of virtual replicas of a physical building, if you like. I'm not entirely sure how the exact intricacies of it works, but basically they use the Internet of Things and they can track all of a building's data as well. And they kind of give you a map of the building and make it very easy to analyze what's going on within your building, everything from sort of the energy consumption to who's been inside it. And I suppose if that was extremely widespread in use at the moment, then that could also mitigate the impact of COVID-19. I guess there's other standalone technologies which can be part of building management systems that are quite interesting as well. So, I mean, when you walk into a building, then some of these smart buildings now can sort of assess the level of CO2 that you have in an entrance. But I think some people now are talking about, well, people are talking about analyzing sort of fine matter, so very small matter, if possible, to sort of stop the spread of airborne diseases. And there's a Finnish startup called 720 Degrees that we also mentioned in the report. And they're a climate analytics company. So they sort of offer a artificial intelligence powered tool to kind of monitor indoor air quality in real time. So it's like a building management system, but just for the air quality. And they use machine learning and they apply it to all the environmental data that you put into the machine. And they can just feed out real quick reports showing you, you know, what the air quality is like and where you should improve it. Perhaps doing something as simple as just opening a window somewhere or lowering the air conditioning or turning up the heat or whatever. It's quite remarkable. So it can all really be done at the touch of a button, theoretically. I guess it's a case of trying to combine things like this 720 degrees, this air quality tool, this software. It's kind of combining all of these software and tools into one building management system. I think that's still perhaps waiting to happen, to have something that's very comprehensive and affordable enough for people to install within their buildings.
Well, you know, it's amazing how sensors, I remember this was years ago, and I forget what magazine, some scientific magazine talked about the five biggest innovations for the future, and one of them was sensors. Mm. Sensors have become incredibly sensitive. They're able to pick up so many different things. And it's amazing what they also are they're being used even for individual health, where they can pick up from a person just based on who knows what, whether it's components of their exhalations or the cellular shedding that goes on with everybody can tell whether or not a person's healthy. So we think about these buildings of the future just being packed with sensors. I mean, cars are packed with sensors for other purposes. And the things that they're capable of doing, especially if people are willing to, and I don't know if this is part of contact tracing or not within a building, Merrick, but if somebody puts on a watch, some kind of device, or is carrying a fob, maybe it's the fob that lets them enter the front door, and they're asked to keep it in their pocket, then the building can actually trace all the movements, and then you can do some contact tracing from there. Is that at all part of it, or is there some other method for the contact tracing that's being used right now?
That could be a part of it, yeah. I think there's sort of other ways to do it. I mean, on that point, going back to the data, that's a really fascinating, that could be a fascinating point of, well, basically you could get the lawyers involved there, because, you know, if someone's got a fob and they're being tracked all around the building, and their manager can tell how long they've spent in the restroom or by the coffee machine, and they kind of use that to, because, you know, stuff like that can
be.
Yeah,
but I was working the whole time. I was thinking about the lead on a story, thinking about a new product line. I mean, if you're in a knowledge business, you actually can be kind of what appears to be dawdling. You could be sitting around a common space. You could be standing by the coffee machine sipping away, but you're actually cogitating. You're thinking you're trying to solve a problem, or you're trying to come up with a new product or service or build it out or what have you.
Absolutely.
But I understand what you're saying. You're saying that people are sensitive to the idea that I'm being tracked everywhere I go, and it can look like I'm dawdling.
Yeah. I mean,
when in fact I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's already kind of done with. I mean, some companies have these systems where you have to, or at least they did a few years ago, you have to even type in, you know, when you've gone to the restroom or whatever, and keep a log of what you've been doing, especially sort of in call centers and in places where, well, I've even heard of law firms doing that, which I thought was slightly unusual, but especially
make sure you're not getting billable hours out of the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the old days of sort of leaving your suit jacket on the chair and pretending you were in the building and you were down at the bar or the pub around the corner having a drink?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the fob is in the jacket and you're fobless at the bar.
Exactly. So, but there's all sorts of ways of doing it. I guess what, I mean, you mentioned watches, smart watches and phones would probably be another accurate way of doing it, because you'd maybe download an app which helps you navigate through an office or helps you book a meeting room, whatever. So especially with companies that sort of do hot desking, and you won't have your own desk because they're talking about people working from home two, three days a week. So you probably wouldn't have your own desk going back into the office. Desks would just be cleaned every day, and you'd go back to whichever workspace is free on that day. So you'd have to have stuff on your laptop or your mobile or your tablet.
So where else can prop tech help? I mean, there may be some technologies that have not come to market yet, but they're in development. There may be what I like to call horizon technologies. Mm-hmm. Are there certain property technologies that you can point to that is going to be helpful in some other ways we haven't covered?
That there's the sort of sensors and the building management systems, all of that stuff is in play and sort of being developed all the time. So that, I think people expect those things to get better rapidly or at least be unrolled quickly if companies and landlords want to do that. Away from particularly building management is with investment managers and investors, they could start using PropTech in a way to have a better overall view of the sort of investment execution side of the business, if you like. So, I mean, you sort of call them horizon technologies, which is quite a nice phrase, actually, Mike. I might borrow that one. But you can use sort of analytic machine learning to, this was discussed in one of the roundtables, to perhaps, so you look at the traditional models that you use to monitor business cycles, economic cycles, and those might need revisiting. And if you're just revisiting with sort of human eyes and trying to go through past cycles and what happened, and just using Excel spreadsheets and what have you, it might not be the best way of doing it. And just looking at graphs and reports, so you could theoretically have some sort of machine learning things that supplements the work you do now on business cycles and economic cycles, and it gives you better analytics to sort of enhance the downside protection when things go wrong. You know, like pandemics, like black swan events, or just general economic downturns. So a machine learning tool could sort of start flashing on your screen months before something could happen, you know, whatever that could be, interest rates or something they've seen, inflation's ticking up in one country in Europe or anywhere around the world, or you should look out for this, look out for that. You could even sort of tie in big events, you know, geopolitical events, elections, stuff like that. You know, things that in the past have triggered economic downturns, you know, looking at, you know, the price of oil or whatever, or green technologies that are coming to the fore now everywhere in the developed world. So there's so much to sort of keep an eye on to sort of analyze your property investments. It's impossible for a research team to do. And machine learning could help you do that, theoretically.
It's very, very broad definition of prop tech right there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about whether there has been some disappointments in property technology. Are there some technologies that they thought would be deployed that have not made it to market, or have there been some that made it to market and they just have not performed as advertised?
Yeah. I think there are pretty lots of early sort of sensors and software tools that didn't quite cut the mustard, but they've obviously been improved in recent times. I think it's a twofold. So there's a disappointment, particularly with blockchain. So blockchain was, I'm not quite sure why. Maybe not everybody understood what it could do or what it was meant to do. That was supposed to be a big thing for real estate, but in the short term, it seems to have had very slow development. And again, it's something we talked about in the roundtables, and people are sort of being disappointed with it. So one of the participants sort of mentioned how frustrated they are with blockchain. I mean, on the one side, it can be used as a fantastic decentralized sort of ledger system, give you a fantastic joint sort of smooth accounting system that can't be tampered with. But it's not really been adopted or used much within the real estate world. And you have sort of fintech now improving rapidly. So they can use their own ledger systems with cheaper sort of fintech. That's maybe undermining some of blockchain's benefits. So that, I mean, blockchain's such a massive thing and is in use and could be used in so many ways. But
or fintech will start to integrate blockchain within. Maybe that's the way it will happen.
Maybe.
I know that there's billions of dollars being invested in actually bringing blockchain online and integrating it into a lot of different processes, but apparently they haven't made as much progress as they had hoped to.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the things that was also mentioned was that it's, I think there's slight issues with the legislation around it and regulation. So, I think Germany.
What's that about? Is that the legacy industries protecting their territory by getting legislators to put up roadblocks?
Yeah, it could be, but I think it's just because people don't see a legal framework and they're kind of a bit, they're a bit wary of it. It's still kind of the Wild West, you know. It's kind of blockchain is associated with you know, Bitcoin and dodgy dealings and I think
murder for hire and all.
Yeah, the dark web. And I think Germany are introducing a new law. I remember someone mentioning on the roundtable and around blockchain. But if there's a lack of maybe certainty around it, that might be it. I don't know if people are trying to protect their legacy, but you never know. You never know with these things. I mean, the other disappointment aside from blockchain, Mike, is tenants' attitude, actually, bizarrely enough. So it's not a question of technology itself. It's tenants haven't always wanted landlords to install prop tech, so they're happy just doing their own stuff. One of the participants on the roundtable mentioned that they've tried in the last couple of years to install more smart technology into buildings, but they found that tenants just didn't want the landlord to interfere. And in some parts of Europe, the only tech they really want is, you know, like a really good internet connection. I'm not entirely sure why that is, but I think one of the theories is that it's around data, and companies are very protective of their own data and their employees' data, and they don't want to share that with another system or a third party. So that's kind of held back the introduction of a lot of stuff within buildings, which includes sort of sensors and what some people might view as more intrusive building management systems.
Interesting and kind of discouraging, because then we aren't able to take advantage of a lot of these whiz-bang technologies the way we could be taking advantage of them. So our guest, of course, as always on Report from Europe, is Marek Hanzel. He is editor of Institutional Real Estate Europe. And again, the special report on prop tech appears in the latest edition. That being, help me out on the date on that one, Marek.
So that's the December issue, which is out now.
December 2020 edition. Okay. As I said, quite extensive. You were saying, Marek?
I was just going to say, Mike, I used to say it's hit desks, but because no one's at their desks at the moment. Well, not many people are still at their office in the desks. It's kind of, you can't really
hit
use
mailboxes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people have actually changed their subscription addresses because they haven't been at the office, and they said, "Will you please send it to my home?"
Yeah, it's hit the coffee table. Yeah,
there you go. Hit the coffee table. So it's out. Get your hands on a copy. It's available on the web as well, although not necessarily all of the component parts of it. There's nothing like print, or at least the electronic. The ebook edition, which is an exact electronic replica of the magazine, so you don't have to use paper, but you still get the magazine experience in all of its glittering glory and whatnot. So, Marek, as usual, thanks for the report, and we'll catch up with you next month.
Yeah, great talking to you as always, Mike.